Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following. Did I sound like Lord Alfred Hayes? Oh, come on, I didn't? Pulling no punches on Ryan Day and taking big swings at other hosts here on The Fan.
And who'd have thunk it? Other countries in the Olympics, just like us? How could I dare say such a thing? Well, I did.
It's the emerging podcast scene presented by Extend Technologies on 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app.
The first 4 hours were simply an amuse-bouche.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
Sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
I'm good.
Your table is now ready for Carmen and Lima's emerging podcast scene.
We're brought to you by Extend Technologies, XTENDAV.com. You want to talk xenophobia?
I was very curious where you were going with that at the end of today's show.
Oh, well, you brought up something about the Olympics, didn't you?
I did.
There you go.
So now I remember what
it was. Yeah, it was.
So
it's not actually xenophobia, for crying out loud.
I don't think it is. And you know, it helps to have somebody who served in the armed forces here who can set me straight. It helps to have somebody here from the armed forces.
Jiggle the handle.
That can help set me
straight. That's too much jiggling. Okay, you're good.
Oh, yeah, we're good. Amazing.
What technology?
Amazing. You know what they say, jiggle your mic twice.
That's how engineering works here.
Yeah.
So have you been watching some of these random Olympic sports? Let's say, I don't know if you want to call it random, but women's indoor volleyball.
Yeah.
So I'm watching the French team. And, you know, you expect to see all sorts of French last names like Lavalier and
Levesque.
Yeah. Well, you expect to see those. I saw a team that looked like they were the Americans. Like, totally diverse. People from all over the place. There was an Italian girl.
Yeah.
There was an Italian last name on the French team. And I thought to myself, how amazingly either out of touch or what's the word I'm looking for when you have not been exposed to a lot of other things?
Naive.
Ignorant. Naive.
All of the above. All of the above. When I was young, I just figured, the French. It's just one big nation of Frenchmen and French women. And it's all Frenchies.
Yeah.
And they're all with the
Frenchies.
They sound French. And that's all they care about. They don't have freedoms like we have in America. They don't have any of that stuff, that cool stuff that we have. And then I go on their social media pages of these French volleyball women. My wife was with me. I was allowed. And I noticed
above board.
They're doing all the same things we're doing. They're getting bottle service at the clubs, you know, like Kenny likes to do.
I've had bottle service.
I get bobble service one time over at the ballpark.
It was with you.
Like they have all the cool toys. They have all the cool gadgets. Yeah. They have jobs. They are with small business owners. They have all these things. And I don't know what happened when I was young. I don't know if I was brainwashed or what. I was just led to believe that there was only one country like the United States, and it was only us, and it was us, and everybody else sucked, and everybody else, especially Europe. Those people in Europe, you don't want to live like those Europeans. And I'm like, I don't know. These people look like they're living pretty cool lives. Now, these are the influencers. These are the athletes. These are, you know, now celebrities.
Yeah.
Like a lot of these Olympic performers are. But I don't know why I found that interesting to me, but their women's volleyball team looked very diverse. They look like what could be an American or a Canadian
I think
team.
We are of an age, this is where our ages show. There was very little, at least, I don't know, Owen's from Oklahoma, you and I are from the American Midwest. Maybe it was different for those who might be listening on this who are, you know, transplanted or just grew up Browns fans or whatever from Chicago or New York or whatever. I didn't get the BBC when I was a kid. So I just thought of Winston Churchill and the Queen and the royals, and that was it. You know, I saw a lot of what American television kind of stereotyped as people from England, people from Italy, people from France, so on and so forth. And so for our generation, that's what it was. I mean, there was like, I put rally cars on and stuff like that on YouTube for the boys and stuff. And you're like, the roads are a lot more narrow because it's not, these countries aren't as large as ours, which ours is a huge country in comparison. But in a lot of ways, it's like, yeah, there's a lot of things that it kind of looks like what it would in England, but there's a lot of places in England that kind of look like here, vice versa, in certain areas.
A lot of the same, and obviously there was influence from Europe here in this country in many different towns, in a lot of the bigger cities, there's a lot of that influence. But they have the same issues that we have every day. They have social justice conversations. They have immigration conversations. They have taxes and government waste. They have the same conversations. Yes, there are fundamentals that are different in all of these countries. But I just kind of laugh like, yeah, I'm proud to be an American. I am. I also haven't been to these other countries. I haven't lived there. I haven't worked there. I have no idea what I'd be in for. And obviously right now, I started this by glorifying those countries because I'm only seeing the good.
Well, we never.
But they have the bad, too.
Yes. We never had a, you asked me on the phone, were there trips to Europe? I don't remember Model UN. I wasn't in Model UN. But I don't remember anybody from those clubs getting to go to Europe. Now, maybe they did, and I just didn't remember because I wasn't interested in it at the time. I'm not sure.
Yeah, our Latin classes, every other year, I think they arranged a trip to Rome.
Wow.
And Italy, and I'm like, well, congratulations on all your success.
Yeah, can't imagine how much that cost.
Those trips weren't free.
Yeah, like there was, I don't remember any kids going to Europe on vacation. Maybe they did. It was over 20 years ago now, so I'm not sure. But maybe they got to go to Europe on vacation. You got to go to Canada. I got to go to Canada when I was a kid. I realized I've not been to Canada since I was 8 years old. I thought, oh, no. I crossed over into Windsor. I didn't do anything fun in Windsor. Like everybody goes to Windsor, like to gamble and drink and go to strip clubs and things like that. I didn't do any of that in Windsor. And so it was pointless. So I was in Detroit. So just to go to Windsor, we did that. It didn't matter. Those were the old days. I think now we're just more exposed to what it is. Like I've seen more Canadian television, more Canadian sitcoms. I've seen more BBC. You know, there's shows like Doc Martin that people are interested in from over there, like that type of stuff. So you see more European influence, you see more, you see more worldwide influence than you ever did when you were a kid. So yeah, it kind of dawns on you. They're going, yeah, they look pretty diverse because it's not the stereotype that they were portrayed on American sitcoms in the 1990s when you and I were kids and Owen were kids. So. I think that's part of it. I think that's why you think that way.
And just
a
staggering amount of people as I've gotten older, and maybe it just has something to do with me being able to become friends with people that, that have a little more money, so they're able to travel. But the amount of Italy trips and Greece trips, and not just to the resorts, I mean, they're just they're walking the streets and going to places that it would be like if you were actually living there.
I don't know what's going on with Italy. I don't think that's as extravagant of a trip as we thought it was when we were kids. It seems everybody last year went to Italy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, me?
Yeah, you were going to say something.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, no. It seemed everybody we knew last year, they were seriously
I sent my daughter to Italy 2 years
ago. That's right.
Congratulations.
For soccer. But it was a total, and guys, it didn't cost me that much money. And it was, we were the only parents that didn't go on that trip. And all the other parents were like, how can you not for the amount of money we are not paying for 2 weeks in Italy? And they took you on all these sightseeing things. But I think there's a lot of misconception about Europe because our country, because to drive from New York to LA takes how long? Days? 3 days?
Yeah.
4 days? I don't know exactly.
I mean, if you're not sleeping, I guess you can get there in two.
But. Right, but you can go to all the places in Italy in like 2 days. Yeah. All of the major, you can go from London to, you know, Paris in how much time? That's a big deal over there. I know a lot of my Air Force buddies love Germany because you could just on a 3 day weekend, you could go. Take in the sights of other countries.
And cheap flights, right?
Yes.
All the cheap flights over there. Anyway, that's only all to say is I think I was very close-minded at a very early naturally, age to though, how that was.
Naturally, though. I mean, that was the way things were. Your grandfather was closed-minded in comparison to you, your great-grandfather. But they might have been enlightened to the generations that were previous from them. Not too terribly sure. I do think that a lot of the Enlightenment, I think obviously there's been different points of Enlightenment in world history, but I think the Enlightenment has kind of gone through phases.
Well, this just adds to a kind of a bigger question, because I saw there was... Was it a male pole vaulter born in Louisiana? I think it was pole vault.
Yes, I think you brought this up.
That won the gold, but didn't win it for the Americans. And so you're going to have more and more of this. I mean, you have dual citizenship.
Well,
there
is a wrestler right now who I have followed in college for years. He wrestled for Penn State. Very popular.
All right.
The guy wrestling for America is a kid named Spencer Lee. If you remember, his mom is the one that snapped her glasses when he lost.
That's right.
So Spencer Lee, I think it's 57 kilos is what he's wrestling at right now.
I got down to 57 kilos. Yeah,
there's a guy, that's usually in the trunk of my car when I'm driving across state lines. There's a guy from Penn State, his name's Romeo Bravo Young, and I just looked it up. He's wrestling for, I saw his name on the brackets, I'm like, no way. Bravo Young, there's not another one of those. That's a very specific name. He's wrestling for Mexico. So I just looked it up, and I go, wait a minute. Like, I know this guy was a Penn State guy forever. Was he born in Mexico and then came over? No, he was born in Arizona. He has, his parents' Mexican heritage. He has a dual citizenship there because of that. And is wrestling... And he competed for Team USA and all the, the U-20s and all that. And then in 2023, he went to Mexico. Now, I think a lot of that's because of the clogged talent pool right now.
Well, yeah. If you can't get on the Olympic team here,
right.
Do you think it's unpatriotic? Do you think it's unpatriotic to, if you can't make a team here in the U.S., because obviously I think we have more medals than everybody else, right?
Yeah.
Are we first in golds or no? Are we second?
I got to look that up, but I know.
Either way, we're tops in almost everything. Do you think, Ken Carman, it's unpatriotic?
I'm being made fun of for saying I've seen more BBC.
Do you think?
Oh, I saw a ton of BBC.
Yeah. I've seen your searches.
Sorry.
Do you think it's unpatriotic if you can't make the team in this country for the Olympics to go to another country you have eligibility in?
No.
Should we renounce you?
I used to, but no.
Currently on this, it says we have 27 and China has 27 golds.
And they have a chance to win another one here in, this isn't judo. What is this, kickboxing?
No, I don't.
What is this?
Something with your feet.
Well, no, they're punching too.
Not a lot of hands.
Oh, they're playing some punching.
I think it's kickboxing.
Yeah.
It just says gold medal contest.
I know.
It should tell you what the sport is.
I don't understand that. They just assume we should know. I'd rather watch judo.
Yeah.
I do like judo.
I like judo too. I don't think it's as much as it used to be, just because I think there are countries out there that are willing to hire you to coach for them or to play for them.
Yeah,
Kenny Atkinson is a coach on the French team.
That's another thing. The Jordi Fernandez is coaching a national team. And
so if you win, I think it becomes just kind of a cool experience. Like, hey, we won silver with the French basketball team, like that type of thing. Mm-hmm. That's what I think it becomes. I think it becomes more of a memento or a keepsake.
I think there's a ton of Americans on the Filipino Olympic teams. I think there are a ton.
Probably. I imagine so.
Because they're training here.
Yeah.
The training is still going to be better here.
Right.
Which people are wondering. On a side note, we're going to have to talk to Dan Wetzel about this down the road. People are wondering if the NIL and the college football changes and the big payouts that have to occur are going to end the United States dominance that college football has essentially paid for in the realm of Olympic sports training. The Olympic model is built on the backs of college football. I don't think people ever realize that.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yes.
I did not know that.
It's why Stanford has 30-some sports. It's why Cal Berkeley. And if they end this because of college football needing to soak up all the money to pay the payout. Remember, they got hit with this immense billion-dollar payout, even with all the new TV money. They are seriously concerned about the Olympic sports model persisting, and what could that do to Olympic sports in this country?
That's what I like about Dan, and I'm serious. I know he won't hear this. I don't even know if the guy likes me. It seems like he doesn't have a problem with me. I'm just saying. This is what I like about Dan Wetzel. is he knows the nitty-gritty stuff. Like, there's guys like me who can go, you know, I think if the schedule breaks the right way, I think Virginia Tech could go 10-2 this year and might be a sleeper for the ACC championship game. That's any idiot who follows college football close enough can tell you that. Dan knows where the bodies are buried. Dan knows all that stuff that you don't even think about. The border region stuff, the extra stuff that we don't think about, where it's like Olympic sports are and the Olympic model is affected by by NIL for college football.
Isn't that a crazy consequence? Yes. You want to talk about unintended consequences? That, all right, pay the kids. Okay, we're going to pay the kids. Let them transfer. Okay, let's do that. Let's empower the kids. Let's make sure that they can make money because this sport has been built on the backs of these players. Okay, that's good. That's a populist line of thinking. They deserve it. All right, it's going to end our dominance in fencing. What? Like, it is amazing.
And again, this is, I say it so many times, and we've been down this road so many times, that's why I'm only going to take a look down and we're going to keep going. You and I became the bad guy, and this is why I will not tweet this. You can post the clip of audio if you want. It will not get tweeted because I have seen so many people with their torches and pitchforks go after all these people saying, you want to make money off the backs of kids and not actually pay them. And it's like, no. Is the people who are championing this, I think there are a lot of good people who are championing this and thinking of good reasons. I think there are so many fake activists on social media who are talking about how college football players need to be paid.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Where they do not understand the ramifications of it. And they are doing the exact same freaking thing they're accusing big college football, big college sports of doing, which is if you're going to pay them, you can pay them, but you're going to get the money from somewhere. And so you are eliminating opportunities because you might not watch fencing except for the Olympics, and fencing is probably not the best sport to use as this example. Maybe it's track and field. You know, maybe track and field stayed because it's something that football players can do. You know what? Women's basketball is a big issue.
I track and field will be fine.
If you're going to make them operate as a business, then they'll operate as a business. Yeah. Then what do we do with Title IX? Like, this is a huge, not a slippery slope. That's a buzzword. But this is a big issue that, again, I cannot warn people enough about, where if you think it's doing this great thing, it could absolutely destroy opportunities for generations of Americans. It's not an advocation to not pay college players and hide behind that. I'm sure there's a way we can make it equitable. I'm not sure exactly what it is. We thought about it, but damn it. All these the people who sit there and just want to deride media members for saying the quiet part out loud or tweeting the quiet part out loud, they don't think it through. They just want their likes. They want their retweets. They want their dopamine on some website that ain't even real. Next subject. Sorry. I'm moving on. We're not going to get Brandon Ayuk now, huh?
I think it's over, right?
Am I getting him?
Well, when it came out he doesn't even want to play in Cleveland. Well, you're certainly not going to trade for somebody.
When does he get to make the decision?
But are you going to trade for somebody that doesn't want to play here with that money?
No.
At that price tag?
No. Well,
now why wouldn't he want to play here?
We did that with one guy already. We did.
It is a question. You know, what's the Mike Tomlin line about, you know, prisoners versus hostages or what was it? The Volunteers?
Yeah. Yep.
I get all that. I don't think at that price tag for Brandon Ayuk.
It was Stefanski who said we want Volunteers, not hostages.
Well, I misattributed.
Maybe it was Tomlin.
Sorry, it was, go ahead. It was Freddie Kitchens, I believe, said that.
And that's the end of the talk.
I don't think a player like Brandon Ayuk, who there's a debate. Who was it that said he's closer to the 20th best player than he is the best player? The best wide receiver. Somebody
Sports by Brooks.
Sports by Brooks had it yesterday.
We are doing this on mics.
I don't understand, you know, the need. Like, fans started to get into this mindset. Like, well, now we have to have him. We're rumored to get him. We want to do here we go, Brownies. Here we go. let's do everything we can to get him. Like, I think you still have to be smart, right? You still have to do a deal that makes sense.
No, you can be dumb.
We're not desperate. Are the Browns desperate?
No.
Because to me, the Steelers seem a little desperate if they end up consummating this deal and stepping up to make a deal work with Brandon Ayuk. And maybe they should be desperate because they know their offense could be in big trouble.
Well, they need to have something there for you can't just have George Pickens. I know they like Van Jefferson.
Even count on.
I know they like Van Jefferson. At least that's what they say. They have Pat Freiermuth, yep. And they got to go to running game. Do they need Brandon Ayuk? I would still say no.
That's because we don't think Brandon Ayuk is the difference between them.
What are they?
Getting
are they,
to the Super Bowl.
Yes.
We just don't think they're capable of that, period.
They're a 9-8 team, and I won't say 8-9 because of the history of Tomlin making the playoff, or Tomlin being over 500. So they're a 9-8 football team.
Or does Ken Carmen right now want to go on record and say they're not going to get 500 this year for the first time in Mike Tomlin's tenure? Say it right now if you want.
Still think
are you getting that feeling?
I still think the defense is decent.
Even with that quarterback situation,
they got Patrick Queen. It's going to help.
Yeah.
They got Patrick Queen. They don't die. They do not die. When's the last time they died? Cower, like they turned into 6-10 one year, I think it was. I think so. I remember people wanting Cower fired like twice during his tenure.
Won the Super Bowl the next year?
I think 2 years after. I'm not sure. I have to go back and look.
The year after that, he was out.
Well, you're tired. And then people thought he was going to be the head coach of the Giants. And
I remember that.
Then he realized that TV money pays him more than he made with the Steelers, and he doesn't have to deal with an owner, and he doesn't have to deal with fans wanting his job.
Are you ever tuning in to CBS to watch Bill Cowher?
No.
Breakdown
games?
No,
not. But he found a way.
We want to talk about stealing money.
People like Bill Cowher, though, man.
We've had him on. He's good with us. I just don't think anybody is.
That's a good question. I watch everyone. I know you guys don't get to watch those because you're doing pregame shows.
Who do you tune in for in the first place?
Dude, I watch every one of those, and I just thought of, why do I watch them?
I'll tell you who I tune in for.
Who?
Boomer. I like Boomer.
I don't even do that.
You don't?
I just tune in to see the live shots and see who's on the field and
scene setters.
Yeah, the scene setters.
I like when they do the picks on NFL Network's pregame, and they do the lone wolf, and Steve Mariucci has to wear the lone wolf thing, and they go, "Ow!" when they do the lone wolf, because like one person just picks one team to win. That's it. That's always fun.
I saw an interesting headline in the Barrett Sports Media.
Can't believe it.
Yesterday,
they're just giving Brandon Ayuk all the power. What? Go ahead.
Rich Eisen. This is a real headline. Rich Eisen went from, was it a face of ESPN or whatever? Then it said
to a heel.
To an icon at the NFL Network.
Okay.
I've always wondered, he's one of those I always wondered about. Had he have stayed at ESPN, would he have been bigger than if he went to the NFL and got to run the whole show? Because he became the guy.
Well, he was the first guy that, you know, they said when the NFL Network came about, they're like, oh, we're going to do this thing that's just football all the time. I think there was a lot of skepticism to it. But Eisen was one of the guys for SportsCenter after the initial wave of, you know, Oberman and Patrick and those guys. He was in the Stuart Scott class of the next wave. And for him to go to the NFL Network did legitimize it to a point to say, oh, they went and got somebody that the big sports network has entrusted with handing us our info.
He is,
and people got to know him as a personality more so on the NFL Network.
Now he's at a desk for 2 hours straight, and you've got to do a lot of personality in there, and it's not just the personality of making a sound effect when somebody hits a shot.
I don't think anybody can do it. This is a weird conversation to have because I was driving yesterday thinking of Chris Fowler.
Oh, and I'd love to talk about Chris Fowler.
He's the voice of College Football 25. Okay. At least one of them. They might use actually multiple broadcast teams. I haven't played it. I've only walked by where Axel's playing it, and then
they have Dustin Fox and John Schriffen on one of those teams?
I'm not sure, and the podcast has to continue. I remember when Chris Fowler first took over, and it was this bizarre experience where you didn't really, like, I couldn't say it was bad. It was just weird to hear him doing play-by-play because it's like, man, you're on game day. Because he was the face of game day.
It was awesome on game day.
It was so weird to see him on game day or off of game day and doing play-by-play. And because, like, Wimbledon, he's always done Wimbledon and US Open and stuff like that, tennis. But it was weird to see him do it. And now I'm like, man, I really, not out of nowhere, but I think slowly, never hated Chris Fowler, never was opposed to it. But he's slowly grown into a voice I really like on college football.
It's gotten so much better.
It's just right there, man. It's just a nice burn. He doesn't go over the top with it. He's just a very enjoyable play-by-play guy.
I used to, and you're the same way. Is Vern Lundquist on the call? It's a big game. Keith?
You're right.
Keith Jackson. Is he on the call?
It's a big-ass game.
And then for me, when I really got into college football to the next level, at Ohio
State. Say the name.
Brent Musburger
was not calling the name I was thinking.
And I heard You Are Looking Live.
Oh, that's good. Yeah,
for a game. Yeah. I would lose my mind about getting caught up in the pageantry of college football because Brent Musburger was telling you all eyes in the college football world. Now, they diluted it because everybody gets a game. Fox gets a game at 1 or at noon. Then they also get a primetime game. NBC gets a game at noon. They also get a primetime game. So they've diluted it. There's a lot more voices. And I say diluted. Any names I'm going to mention after that, I guess, would be a slight, but it shouldn't be because Jason Benetti is a superstar.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, Jason Benetti's calling big games. Now, there's so many. Noah Eagle is calling the big Notre Dame games. There's so many guys calling the games. I have to say now that when Chris Fowler is calling a game, I know it's a big game. I didn't necessarily think that, even though they give him the big games, I didn't think he sounded like it for a while. I think now he sounds just fine.
I think he fits it. It didn't take where I accepted it. It just slowly caught on with me without me even noticing. And that's probably the way he wants it. Because
he is not overstated. He's not trying to get catchphrases in.
Yeah.
He's not trying to become a personality. He's trying to just do the games, and he's been covered. Man, I remember Chris Fowler when he did the high school program, Scholastic Sports America.
Yeah.
When he was on ESPN, and it was on when I'd get off the bus.
Yeah.
And they would be chronicling people across the country. And this was when he was like 24. He got that job like right out of Colorado and was doing that. And so he was a kid back then doing all that.
Well,
and then when he was the game day experience was just out of this world. When we all loved game day. I know now there's competition and people don't feel the same about it. But he was awesome on it.
I like Big Noon Kickoff. That's just me. I don't like
I go back and forth. I do.
I don't
too
anymore.
Too long. I think 3 hours was a mistake looking back.
Of what?
Going to 3 hours on ESPN game day just gave me so much that I can miss now.
Yeah.
You're giving me a waiver. You're giving me approval to. Nobody expects you to watch 3 hours of anything.
No. I don't think they do, but I think they want to be on.
Yeah.
And I think they want to be something that people leave on as people walk around and get ready. I think they saw people in tailgates with TVs on and are saying, I want to be on that. Why are we not on at 9 o'clock instead of 10?
Yes.
Why are we not on at 10 o'clock instead of 11? Like, I think that was part of it during that time once they started going out and seeing people who had TVs out there. I like Big Noon Kickoff. I do think there's almost a science to it. Like, Gus Johnson is, to me, not right on every game.
I agree.
When he is on, Gus Johnson, when he was on those Colorado games last year, brother, I was there. I loved it. I thought it was great. So much fun. But when he's on, I can't really explain it. Like, a guy like Saban can be stoic and serious, and the only emotion he shows is really a lot of anger. When he's doing it, like, he doesn't go crazy, except for last year when he smoked a cigar after, I think, when they beat Tennessee, he smoked a cigar. Like, that's when I knew he was going to retire at the end of the year. I told you after that, I go, he smoked a cigar, he's done, and him and Miss Terry are going to enjoy the rest of their lives together. And that's when I thought it was. But him on certain games with certain coaches who don't show a lot of personality, who aren't maverick type of college football coaches, I don't think it's as much fun. I don't think it's as much fun when he's there and there's a storyline with a coach or there's a storyline with a player or team and Deion gives you all of them. Gus Johnson is the perfect guy. He can pick up the mood of the room. I think he keeps your interest if one team starts blowing out. Yes.
Big close game.
So he can be a lot of fun with that. You know, Chris Fowler, again, he can be so understated. He understands that the game is the event and he is the voice that paints that. He's right there with the right people. It's the right game. It's the right place. It's all there. You know, there were guys from my childhood. I remember, and he'll never get the just due I think he deserves. because he said some, he was a jerk.
Jimmy the Greek. No. Just say it. You know, you want to say it was like Jimmy the Greek.
I think he'll agree with me. Ron Franklin on Ron SEC Franklin. Saturday night.
I thought he was great.
Him and Mike Gottfried, who were.
Mike Gottfried, yeah, the ex-coach.
Yep. And like, I remember they would cut into him. It would be like halftime.
Great voice.
Of the 3:30 game. And during the halftime show, they would cut to like Ron Franklin. He'd be standing there and you'd see the big T sign in the mm-hmm. background. And he had that great voice. And he's right here in Knoxville tonight. And he's like doing the preview.
Mostly Southern games, yep. right?
And it was basically always ACC or SEC. Yeah. And I'm just like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm watching the second half of whatever this is. And I am on to SEC Saturday night with Ron Franklin, and I just enjoyed it. The years of Phil Fulmer and Peerless Price and all that crap, mm-hmm. I just loved it, man. I loved it, and I got to meet him when he did the MAC championship one year, and I got to meet him. I shook his hand.
That's awesome.
And then, you know, what he said to Holly Rowe was not right, but other than that.
I'll tell you, the college football announcer that's still for the big play, if there is a big play, a WTF college football play, it is Sean McDonough. McDonough, because he has a bit of a trademark. Yeah. Sean McDonough, who is such a classical broadcaster, he's got a wry sense of humor. He's very acerbic, but his voice is amazing, except on the big plays. Do you know what happens during the big plays?
What happens?
His voice crackles, and he has no control over it. He has talked about it. He was so ashamed of it.
Why?
For some of the biggest plays, his voice would crack like he was Peter Brady. And it bothered him to no end because he's like a polished, does not make mistake broadcaster. And now it's just become a thing because his voice doesn't have that register. And when he gets loud and high octave, his voice cracks. And it's happened like there's like 10 times that it's happened. But it's all big play. You know it's a big play. It's become one of the go-tos. I love Sean McDonough. I will always adore Sean McDonough. Kills me that he doesn't get to do the biggest of the big anymore. And I think it's because he's I think he's a truth teller and people don't like that.
Can we just talk college football? Can we just take the college football podcast away from Nick and Spencer?
We're
not supposed to talk college football because they're talking college football. I just love it. I love talking college football with you.
Well, I mean, if they're going to coddle Ryan Day till the cows come home, you know, they can continue to do that. You're not going to get that here on this college football podcast. I will tell you that much right now.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.